Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm very excited about this one because the beauty of podcast is nothing has to be planned. We can do it whenever we want. And today when I called my friend Melly to congratulate her on being benzo-free, today's her first day, and she's so excited. I got home and I thought, hey, I think I want to do a podcast talking to somebody who it's their first day drug-free. No more taking a pill, no more thinking about how much she has to cut. And I also want you to hear what she was able to accomplish when she was very, very sick in benzo withdrawal and what she did with legislation. So I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you. Hi, Carmela. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today because today is a very special day for you. It is the first day that you are drug-free. Can you tell us a little bit about how you feel? Because I know you and I were very excited earlier today.
Yes, we're still very excited. It was a very, very emotional day, I guess. Actually, last night was pretty emotional. Just taking my last dose, we kind of did like the happy dance. I do my dosing late at night before bed at around 11, 1130. And I have my spreadsheet with my amounts and dosages and time and date and all that. And so we took pictures of it and me taking my last drink of my liquid Valium. And it was very exciting. And I was able to go to bed, fall asleep and stay asleep and wake up kind of excited knowing that I did not have to take any benzo anymore. So it was very, very exciting. Yeah.
It was a long road. So when I called you earlier today to congratulate you, because it is such an exciting day, and we'd been emailing how many days left, and you had mentioned an app to me, because I said to you, we were talking on the phone, I said, all right, you'll start counting in a whole different way, you know, one day drug-free too, and you said, hey, I have an app that I got. Can you tell me what the name of the app is? Because I think that could be helpful for people.
Yes, actually, I just learned of it. I knew of it, but I didn't know the name of the app. And my friend Melissa from Benzo House, who has a support group on Facebook, uses it. So when I let her know that I was done, I had asked her about the app, and she told me the name of it. It's called Clean Day, and you can download it, and you pick the starting date or seconds of when you're clean. It could be for anything. It doesn't have to be for benzos.
Right. It could be for diet, anybody who even wants to just give up sugar while they're tapering.
And it just keeps track for you.
Like this.
Yeah, so I put my date in and it started. Yeah.
Good. We've had some that while they were tapering quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you can always refer to it and see how many days you've been clean, you know, or seconds or hours or days or whatever. So, I think it's great. And I'm glad that Melissa told me about it.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's always good to find out about these things. So now let's go back to what led you to be put on benzos.
Oh, gosh. I had gotten really sick in 97 with some 1997, something known as parvovirus. And I was pretty debilitated and pretty ill for a few months and thought that I would just get better and live life. And I did not. I was still hurting and still having a lot of fibromyalgia pain and post-viral pain. And I was seeing a doctor and I wasn't able to sleep. The pain was waking me. And she said, well, you need to get into a deep sleep, a good restorative sleep, and gave me this medication and said, I want you to take this every night for bed. And that's what I did. I just started taking my medication, which was going to help my fibromyalgia to get me to sleep and stay asleep.
One?
It was Ativan.
Which one were you given? Ativan. And how many milligrams did they start you at?
0.5 milligrams every night before. Well, first it was Ambien for 2 or 3 months while I had the illness, while I was really sick. And then once the parvo had started to clear up, like maybe 2 months later, it was no longer Ambien. They gave me Ativan 0.5 milligrams to take at bedtime for fibromyalgia.
Yeah, and that's how, you know, it's like, how did everybody's story begin? You know, instead of letting you just ride it out a little bit longer, and then you had years and years and years of suffering. So when you and I first came in contact with each other, you had ordered the Ashton manual, and then it never showed up, so you happened to email me, and that's how we became in contact with each other. And now, as we're in touch with each other, and I'm, you know, we're becoming friends, and I know how sick you are, you start actually working on legislation in New Jersey, which is amazing to me. And I want people to know this story, that you are so sick, you're basically in your bed most of the time. And you did it all from your house. You never left the house. Can you tell us the whole process that you went through? Because every state is different. And Massachusetts, I think, is an old politics. So it really was a little bit harder for us here. You did an amazing job as sick as you were.
Yeah. Well, it took me several months to finally get to you and the Ashton Manual. I was doing some research online. I had already been sick for like 3 or 4 months. I was in tolerance withdrawal. I didn't know what was going on. They were admitting me to a rehab facility for psychiatric issues, not for tapering. And fortunately, that didn't happen because of a snowstorm, and they never called me. I was really, I was set up and ready to go in. So that didn't happen. So I started to do some research, and the doctor had suggested that I do this transcranial magnetic stimulation because I was depressed, and it wasn't the Ativan, it was my depression. So I did that, the magnetic brain thing, and kept getting worse. And the nurse had mentioned something about rebound, and it all clicked. So at that point, I decided I'm going to get off. And I tried to get off. The doctor had me taper like 25% a week. At that point, he had me on 2 milligrams a day. So within a month, I was really not well. And I was playing around for a month or two, going up and down, just wanting to get off of it, and started to do my own research, basically fired my psychiatrist, and I was out there on my own, and I found you. I found the Ashton Manual, and that's how I got in touch with you, and got the manual and started to taper what I thought was proper, but I was still probably going a little too fast. So out of frustration, you wanted to know how I got involved with legislation, out of frustration and just so angered by the entire situation of not being able to get better quick enough. And how did I find myself in this predicament? And I'm so unwell and this has to stop. I just picked up the phone and called the state assemblyman's office, got bounced around a few people, and finally spoke with the chief of staff and told her what was going on with me, and told her I had something very important to discuss. And I told her that I felt that benzodiazepines needed a very close look, that it's not just an opioid epidemic that we need to be concerned with. It's this doctor prescribed Ativan benzodiazepine. That it just needs to be monitored more closely. And I was just really angry and frustrated at the situation that I allowed myself to get into.
Right.
So basically, she heard me. She was very sympathetic to me. And I have to say that, you know, within a week, I got a response. They started working on the bill immediately. It was probably, I want to say like a month that we had a draft.
I couldn't believe. It was fast.
Yeah, a month that we had a draft, an actual bill, and then another month to introduce it. And it sat there for a year. Obviously, there was no movement on it. But now we just had the bill reintroduced yesterday, actually.
Right, on your last day of taking benzos. I mean, how perfect was that?
When I got the email, I almost couldn't believe it. So, you know, I wrote them back and I said, coincidentally, you're not going to believe this, but... So it was very exciting. And we tweaked it a little bit. We made it a little different. So I hope something happens this year. We'll see.
Yeah. And I know it's similar to ours, because in ours here in Massachusetts, one of the most important parts got left off accidentally when it went from 1 year to the next. And we're going to have to amend that. And that is to protect anybody on them. It's their choice to come off. We don't want anybody harmed by all those in our groups that have been yanked off or doctors forced them off. It's already been done to them. So we want to save the new ones coming in and protect those that have been on them long term.
Actually, that's what we added.
Yeah.
We included that so that people have the choice. They don't have to be forced off, because there was a lot of concern. I had gotten some emails from people fearing that they were going to be yanked off, or even not yanked. Off. Let's say they did a very slow taper. They did not want to go through the horrors of tapering, because it is a horror.
Right. I wouldn't have done it myself unless I knew anybody on them could be protected. And it has to be a symptom-based taper because we're all different. So I think your bill has it nice and clear cut, which is great. What's your bill number? And if somebody wanted to see it, how do they see it?
It's New Jersey Bill A3495.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to see it, it's online now. It's officially up as of yesterday?
Yes, I saw it. Yeah, I did see it this morning. And I can email you the link for that later.
Okay, and we'll add it to the show notes, which would be great.
Yeah.
So definitely. Now with everything going on, you know, with what you have with the tapering and whatnot, and I know, you know, people can hear you now, but I know how much you suffered going through this. We were in contact a lot. So can you tell me a little about that and the methods that you use? Because you went from one method to another at the end. You actually switched from one benzo to another and changed your method you were using. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I started, I was on 2 milligrams of Ativan tablets. So I started, you know, with my psychiatrist tapering just too large of a dose. When I found the Astra Manual and cotton, the book from you, I started to taper with pills, weighing them with the gem scale, the jeweler scale, and using a formula that I had gotten on Benzo Buddies, which is very good. So once I got the hang of that, I would just measure my pills, weigh them out, find the weight, put the information into the spreadsheet, and it would just give me the weight of the pills that I would need to equal that percent reduction. So initially, after I got your manual, I started with a 3% cut. So I took the pills that I reduced 3% every 14 days. And as I started to feel comfortable with 3, I went up to 4 and then maybe 5%. I attempted 6. It was too much. Had to go back down. There were a few times I did have to hold. I had to play around with dosing 3 times a day to 4 times, back to 3. So there was a lot of figuring out what worked for my body. So I stayed with dry cutting Ativan with a jeweler scale for a year. And then a year later, which was this past August, I took the challenge and moved over to Valium and did a crossover to Valium and started tapering with dry cutting Valium pills. So we did
How was the switch for you going from Ativan to Valium?
Oh gosh, it was horrific. It was horrific. It was a nightmare. Unfortunately, it was the week that my husband had to spend at Sloan Kettering for his treatment for 9 days. And he's been quite ill on and off for years and more on lately. And that was the week that he was going to do a new treatment protocol, recently FDA approved. And he had to be inpatient. And I was too ill to go. So I felt very guilty about it.
But I remember
I just
that.
Couldn't go.
So sick.
Yeah. I FaceTimed with him every day. Mm-hmm. And but I wanted to get something positive out of that time that he was going to be in the hospital. So my sister took me in and took care of me for the 9 days that he was in the hospital. And I utilized that time to cross over to Valium. And it was not fun. It was very scary. I was unwell. I had night terrors, nightmares, trembling, shaking, just out of my mind. But I did it and then came back home and continued on Valium.
Right. And then you then at some point switched to liquid.
Yeah. So I did correct? The, I stayed on the Valium dry cutting 2 milligram tablets. I think I was on like 4 in August of 2019. And then I started to dry cut that using the same formula. And then in November of 2019, just a little while ago, after speaking with Brooke I met her through Christy Huff. She suggested the Valium, the liquid Valium. And I thought that now would be a good time to do it. I was still getting some, I don't know, weird feelings. I still wasn't stable enough. So I did try it. And I went to liquid and it worked really well, really fast. And I wound up eliminating my daytime dose quickly. So that was really good.
Good. Good. So now, you know, speaking of your husband, tapering is stressful enough, but you know, you and I have something in common with our husbands, both having two kinds of cancer. Your husband having the leukemia and the osteosarcoma, my husband having the leukemia and the Merkel cell carcinoma. I don't even know how you did it, because I know how stressful it was for me, and I had to keep protecting my health, and you were tapering, you were sick, Art sick. I don't know how you did it. I mean, what did you do to protect yourself during that? And one thing I do want to mention, because I think this happened when a lot was going on, as much as the support groups are wonderful, I mean, look at, I started the first one, but when you're coming off and you're sensitive, I remember you unsubscribed for a little bit off of Facebook because there was a death of another benzo person that was struggling. And it, you just said, I have to get off. And people have to protect themselves. And I think you said it was a good decision for you. And you came back on later on. But I always say you should have your close benzo friends. So did it help you to come off for a little bit when you were so sensitive? You have a lot going on in your life. And people are writing horrific stories. They're real, and we want to support them. What's your view on all of that?
Yeah, that was in May 2019. I was getting ready to go to bed. I had just taken my dose, and I just logged onto Facebook, and I saw what had happened. There was a death, and I was triggered, traumatized, upset, couldn't sleep, racing heart, just, you know, and this was before crossing over to Valium, so I was still on Ativan. Which in the end, Ativan had turned paradoxical on me. My evening doses were not calming me down. They were doing the opposite. And then I read that and I had to go off. I shut down completely. I just could not handle it. And I think I probably just started going on Facebook a little bit recently, within the past month. So I just stayed away for a good 7 or 8 months. And it helped me because it allowed me to focus on myself without becoming so fearful of every little thing. I had a lot of fear and I thought I was never going to get better. And I thought the taper was never going to end. And I just felt like, how am I going to endure another 8 months of this or 9 months or a year or whatever the case may be. And I was just losing confidence. I had to step away. I had to step away and just kind of like isolate. And that's what I was doing. I kept my world very small. I reached out to a few people and I let you guys know, you, my friend Kimberly in Canada that you introduced me to, and Michelle, and several others that, you know, Marjorie, Barry, Leonard, I'm going off of Facebook. I find it too triggering. And they were just so good about it. And they're like, you just message with us when you need help. Right. And that's what I did.
So again, we believe in the support groups. I think they're wonderful. But when you get sensitive like you were, you did the right thing for you. So I think people have to, you know, I want them to hear what you had to do to survive this. And this is what got you to the other side.
Absolutely.
And now another thing that people don't know, you've also recently found out that you have Lyme. You've had gut issues, allergies, POTS. And you're working with a functional medicine doctor, an allergist, and now hopefully you just found out about a Lyme specialist near you and a cardiologist. But your attitude is amazing, because I think you and I talked earlier today, and I never, you know, this is an exciting day, but you also know first day off, your body's going to go through some adjustments. And as Dr. Pert used to say to me, anywhere between, you know, 2 months, 5 months, there's going to be that. And some don't feel it. You know, you could just do great because you're working with some wonderful doctors. But you've got health issues that have to be addressed here. And what's going to be left as you heal from the benzos? It'll be interesting.
Right. Well, I couldn't really deal with a lot of the health issues because I was just so boggled down with Ativan withdrawal and the symptoms of that, which were horrific. So even if I wanted to do something to care for myself, I couldn't even get out of bed. I couldn't do anything. Being off the benzo now is going to allow me the time to really focus and take care of myself, because I just feel like this noose around my neck is loosened and I don't have to worry about that little white pill anymore, you know?
Right.
So
it's an amazing feeling.
You know, not everything is benzo. That's another thing I want to say. If you have problems, you don't feel well, you have to get it checked out, because you can't blame benzos for everything. They might make everything worse, you know, but you have to get yourself checked out. So I kind of feel that now that I put that aside, I could really just concentrate on getting to the best of me, you know,
right.
Whatever that may be, to my new normal.
Right, right. And plus, you've got your husband that you're still dealing with. Because I know Art's an amazing husband supporting you and you supporting him. How has been support from the rest of the family?
My family's been good. They get it, but I don't think they really understand how devastating it is. It's got to be something else. This little pill can't do all this to you. Yeah, it can. But yeah. I have to say that I've been very fortunate with my family, my very close friends, even nieces, nephews, aunts, cousins, and all of that. I've been very fortunate, very blessed with that. My rock has been my sister. I could scream, yell, cry, call her. She'll come running. She drops everything. And she's done that for me many times. She took me in when my husband was in the hospital, texting, calling, listening. I mean, I repeat the same thing over and over.
Right. But, and we need that.
Yeah.
You know, we need that constant reassurance to get through it. So thank goodness your family was there. So I had said to you earlier, I'm going to ask a question that I've never asked before. And the reason I want to ask it, I don't know, when we were talking earlier, you know, the crazy things doctors say, because one day when I'm off the drugs and I'm very sick and here I am in Boston and my brother took me, I can't even remember the doctor. I wish I could, because I'd love to go back. And, you know, he's telling me, oh, the benzos were out of your system in 2 weeks, you know, and he comes out as I'm leaving and in the office in front of my brother and all of the people sitting there, he hands me a brown paper bag with 5 weeks of free Paxil, tells me to take the Paxil and go buy myself a red sports car and I'll be fine. I couldn't believe it. So what are some of the crazy things a doctor has said to you?
My doctors told me that I had a disorder. And I'm like, really? I have a disorder? Oh, yes. You have a disorder. You have panic disorder. I'm like, well, what's panic disorder? Well, it's kind of like you have the same reaction. If I were to tell you fortune off closed or there was a lion chasing you, you would have the same reaction. I'm like, it's just the way you're wired. So I would go home and I would tell Art, I have a disorder, and I joke and laugh about it. So whenever I had an upset or my throat would be closing, which, by the way, it doesn't happen anymore. So it was definitely medication. So when my throat would close, Art would say, you know, just take the medicine. The doctor wants you to take the medicine. And I would get it, and I would feel like I was receiving communion, you know, and come over with this little white pill and put it in my mouth. And, you know, in 20 minutes to a half hour, I'd be better. So I thought, well, I must really have a disorder. So, they just convinced me to keep taking it. And then I realized this is not right. This is not good.
Right. So where you're in New Jersey and the legislation has been filed, it's official. If anybody from New Jersey is listening, what can they do to help?
Letters. We tell your story, write it down, send me an email, let me collect these letters. I can pass them along to our state assemblyman. The more letters, the better, so that we can appeal to them and let them know what's going on with these benzos.
So I'm going to give your email, which is optimum.net. We'll also put that in the show notes so that people can send you an email, because it's important that, I mean, here in Massachusetts, we need a lot of letters, so you've got to get them. So if anybody's listening, please send her these emails with, you know, just attach a letter. Now, does yours have to be addressed to the assemblyman? What do they need to do? Put the bill number and address it to anybody, or just send it to you with their story?
You can send it to me. If you want to remain anonymous, you can, or you can send it. I would just send it to me and just address it to your assemblyman. I mean, I can give you the name of the assemblyman after, so that if you want to include that in the podcast, that's fine. We're using, there's two, so I'll give them to you later, but,
Here we had to have our name and address, because they want to know exactly you know, that you're from Massachusetts. I mean, we got letters from all over the world, which were great the first time, but they really wanted to zero in on Massachusetts. What about New Jersey? Do they mind if they get any from other states?
Actually, they do. You're right. They really do prefer the New Jersey residents.
Yeah. Okay. So all right, New Jersey people, this is the time to just take your time, write a letter. Does it? I mean, ours could be as long as they wanted, but they did want a name and address. And if they're afraid of a whole name, just put your first name, but put your address. They want to know that you're in the district.
Right. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Anything else that you want to add?
No, I just want to thank you so much. I mean, I stumbled upon you. We clicked. I got lucky. The first manual got lost. You sent me a second manual. And then we hit it off, emailing back and forth. I think I have about 100 or so emails between the two of us. And I really have to tell you that I looked forward to those emails and I read them and reread them and hung on to every word, and Kimberly as well, every word of just encouragement and support that I was going to get through this. Because those were some very dark times. Just thank you again. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm so glad that I had you on today. I mean, last minute, I hated to do that too, but I had this idea. I'm like, this is somebody's first day off. This would be great to, you know, to get you on, because this is a very exciting day for you.
It was a real exciting day for me. I was just buzzing with excitement all day, going about my day and doing things. And I was like, I waited so long for this day and it's finally here. And I was just so happy. And then when you called, I'm like, yay, you made my day. So thank you.
Well, I'm so happy for you, and I'm glad you're on the show. And I just want people to stay tuned for our after the show conversation between Garrett and I. Thank you, Melly.
Thank you, sweetie. And I'll get that information to you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Garrett, we just finished the interview with Carmela, Melly, and it was a different interview because we just, talk about no notes, we just did it very quickly. I texted you and said, hey, you know, I want to do my friend Melly, who's today's her first day off, and I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, I thought it went well, and you're right. So we've been doing first, I feel like, every other show for a while now, and this was our kind of on-the-fly show, and it was for a good reason that this was, you know, a celebratory day for her, first day off Benzo's, and we got to hear from somebody that's celebrating their first day.
Celebrating their first day, but because you work in at the State House here, what she was able to accomplish when she was sick, and believe me, I know how sick she was back then, and she never left her house, and she was able to get it done. And, you know, different states have different processes, so you can speak a little bit more about that. We're an old state with legislation.
About the different processes?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really talk about how other states do things, but, you know, in Massachusetts in particular, it can be a grind to get anything through because, you know, there's somewhere in the ballpark of 5,000, 6,000 bills that get filed at the beginning of every session, and sometimes even the best bills just don't have the spotlight shined on them. And so they get heard in committee and they get sent to study, or maybe they move past the committee into a second one, but then never make it their way to the floor. And people get frustrated. It's like, well, why isn't anybody listening to what I have to say about this bill? It's important. And it's really not that they don't think that it's important. It's just there are other priorities that they need to get to. And in Massachusetts, we work on a 2-year cycle, and then there are small breaks there. So there's like a limited amount of time that they have to get to these bills before they eventually kind of die out in the process, and then you have to start it all over again. And that gets frustrating, and people lose their momentum as far as advocating for them.
So I think we were going to, here in Massachusetts, because we just hit a certain point with our bill, we were going to do a whole show on that at some point. So I think we might even try to do that next week, just to kind of let people know where our bill is. But as far as Melly's story, what she was able to accomplish being sick, and how fast it got done in New Jersey, I think is amazing. I mean, you know, people often look at benzo people as weak people. Oh, we're sick. You know, they're sick from the drugs. It's all in their head. And I look at people once you go through it. I thought of myself that way, as I'm a weak person. Till you get to the other side and you realize not a lot of people can go through this. And she is one strong woman. And to be going through it while her husband is sick, because, you know, we went through it with Dad, and I don't know how she did it. I really don't. Because, you know, I had you kids for support. And, I mean, I'd be going to the hospital every day. Or if I did get tired, you know, somebody else would go or you'd be in there. I don't know how she did it.
Yeah. I mean, today is the first time I've ever heard Carmela's voice. So, you know, I don't know her as a person, but I know about the two other things. I know about legislation, and I know what it's like to have a family member going through cancer. Each one individually is enough to, you know, exhaust somebody because it takes so much of your time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing both. So, I mean, it says a lot about, you know, the kind of person she is, that
right.
She was going through this thing that, you know, a lot of people don't understand, but in the meantime, she was able to persevere through two other difficult situations.
Right, two other, while tapering. I mean, talk about, yeah. You know, the trifecta here. And she did it. So I think it was another great interview. I hope other people, as they listen to this, will hear the strength in her voice. And, you know, we're all just so happy for her that the part of tapering is done and over. And now, hopefully, you know, she has some other health issues that are going to get straightened out and she can start to take her life back.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Garrett.
Thank you.